The EMV was an old, transparent Vicken Scenic with no palm locks on the ignition plate or disc key. We caught up to the Terminator before we had crossed France and looked down on darkness that Johnny said was the Atlantic Ocean. Except for lights of the occasional floating city or drilling platform, the only illumination came from the stars and the broad swimming pool glows of the undersea colonies. "Why are we taking their vehicle?" asked Johnny. "I want to see where they forecast from." He said the Lusses Shrike Temple. "Yeah, now we'll see." Johnny's face was barely visible as he looked down at the dark sea 20 clicks below. "Do you think those men will die?" "One was already dead," I said. "The guy with the punctured lung will need help. Two of them will be okay. I don't know about the one who went out the window." "Do you care?" "Yes. The violence was barbaric." "Though a quarrel in the street is a thing to be hated, the energies displayed in it are fine," I quoted. "They weren't cybrids, were they?"
"I think not."
"So there are at least two groups out to get you, the AIs and the Bishop of the Shrike Temple, and we still don't know why."
"I do have an idea now."
I swiveled in the foam recliner. The constellations above us, familiar neither from hollows of old Earth skies nor from any web world I knew, cast just enough light to allow me to see Johnny's eyes.
"Tell me," I said. "Your mention of Hyperion gave me a clue," he said. "The fact that I had no knowledge of it, its absence said that it was important."
"The strange case of the dog barking in the night," I said.
"What?"
"Nothing. Go on." Johnny leaned closer.
"The only reason that I would not be aware of it is that some elements of the Technocore have blocked my knowledge of it."
"Your cybrid..." It was strange to talk to Johnny that way now. "You spend most of your time in the web, don't you?"
"Yes."
"Wouldn't you run across mention of Hyperion somewhere? It's in the news every once in a while, especially when the Shrike cult's topical."
"Perhaps I did hear. Perhaps that is why I was murdered."
I lay back and looked at the stars. "Let's go ask the bishop," I said. Johnny said that the lights ahead were an analog of New York City in the mid-21st century. He didn't know what resurrection project the city had been rebuilt for. I took the EMV off auto and dropped lower. Tall buildings from the phallic symbol era of urban architecture rose from the swamps and lagoons of the North American littoral. Several had lights burning. Johnny pointed to one decrepit but oddly elegant structure and said, "The Empire State Building."
"Okay," I said. "Whatever it is, that's where the EMV wants to land."
"Is it safe?" I grinned at him.
"Nothing in life's safe."
I let the car have its head, and we dropped to a small, open platform below the building's spire. We got out and stood on the cracked balcony. It was quite dark, except for the few building lights far below and the stars. A few paces away, a vague blue glow outlined a Farcaster portal where elevator doors may once have been. "I'll go first," I said, but Johnny had already stepped through. I palmed the borrowed stunner and followed him. I'd never been in the Shrike Temple on Lussus before, but there was no doubt that we were there now. Johnny stood a few paces ahead of me, but other than him, there was no one around. The place was cool and dark and cavernous, if caverns could really be that large. A frightening polychrome sculpture, which hung from invisible cables, rotated to unfelt breezes. Johnny and I both turned as the Farcaster portal winked out of existence.
"Well, we did their work for them, didn't we?" I whisper to Johnny. Even the whisper seemed to echo in the red-lit hall. I hadn't planned on Johnny casting to the temple with me. The light seemed to come up then, not really illuminating the great hall, but widening its scope so that we could see the semicircle of men there. I remembered that some were called exorcists, and others lectors, and there was some other category I forgot. Whoever they were, it was alarming to see them standing there, at least 2 dozen of them, their robes variations on red and black, and their high foreheads glowing from the red light above. I had no trouble recognizing the bishop. He was from my world, although shorter and fatter than most of us, and his robe was very red. I did not try to hide the stunner. It was possible that if they all tried to rush us, I could bring them all down. Possible, but not probable. I could not see any weapons, but their robes could have hidden entire arsenals. Johnny walked toward the bishop, and I followed. 10 paces from the man, we stopped. The bishop was the only one not standing. His chair was made of wood and looked as if it could be folded so that the intricate arms, supports, back, and legs could be carried in a compact form. One couldn't say the same for the mass of muscle and fat evident under the bishop's robes. Johnny took another step forward. "Why did you try to kidnap my Cybrid?" He spoke to the Shrike cult holy man as if the rest of us were not there. The bishop chuckled and shook his head. "My dear entity, it is true that we wished your presence in our place of worship, but you have no evidence that we were involved in any attempt to kidnap you." "I'm not interested in evidence," said Johnny. "I'm curious as to why you want me here." I heard a rustling behind us, and I swiveled quickly. The stunner charged and pointed, but the broad circle of Shrike priests remained motionless. Most were out of the stunner's range. I wished that I had brought my father's projectile weapon with me. The bishop's voice was deep and textured and seemed to fill the huge space. "Surely you know that the Church of the Final Atonement has a deep and abiding interest in the world of Hyperion." "Yes." "And surely you are aware that during the past several centuries, the persona of the Old Earth poet Keats has been woven into the cultural mythos of the Hyperion colony?" "Yes. So?" The bishop rubbed his cheek with a large red ring on one finger. "So, when you offered to go on the Shrike pilgrimage, we agreed. We were distressed when you reneged on this offer." Johnny's look of amazement was most human. "I offered? When?" "8 local days ago," said the bishop. "In this room, you approached us with the idea." "Did I say why I wanted to go on the Shrike pilgrimage?" "You said that it was, I believe the phrase you used was, important for your education. We can show you the recording if you wish. All such conversations in the temple are recorded, or you may have a duplicate of the recording to view at your own convenience." "Yes," said Johnny. The bishop nodded, and an acolyte, or whatever the hell he was, disappeared into the gloom for a moment and returned with a standard video chip in his hand. The bishop nodded again, and the black-robed man came forward and handed the chip to Johnny. I kept the stunner ready until the guy had returned to the semicircle of watchers. "Why did you send the Goondas after us?" I asked. It was the first time I'd spoken in front of the bishop, and my voice sounded too loud and too raw. The Shrike holy man made a gesture with one pudgy hand. M. Keats had expressed an interest in joining our holiest pilgrimage. Since it is our belief that the final atonement is drawing closer each day, this is of no little importance to us. Consequently, our agents reported that M. Keats may have been the victim of one or more assaults, and that a certain private investigator, you, M. Lamia, was responsible for destroying the cybrid bodyguard provided M. Keats by the Technocorps. Bodyguard? It was my turn to sound amazed. Of course, said the bishop. He turned toward Johnny. The gentleman with the queue who was recently murdered on the Templar excursion, was this not the same man whom you introduced as your bodyguard a week earlier? He is visible in the recording. Johnny said nothing. He seemed to be straining to remember something. At any rate, continued the bishop, we must have your answer about the pilgrimage before the week is out. The Sequoia Sempervirens departs from the web in 9 local days. But that's a Templar tree ship, said Johnny. They don't make the long leap to Hyperion. The bishop smiled. In this case, it does. We have reason to believe that this may be the last church-sponsored pilgrimage, and we have chartered the Templar craft to allow as many of the faithful as possible to make the trip. The bishop gestured, and red and black-robed men faded back into darkness. 2 exorcists came forward to fold his stool as the bishop stood. Please give us your answer as soon as possible. He was gone. The remaining exorcist stayed to show us out. There were no more Farcasters. We exited by the main door of the temple and stood on the top step of the long staircase, looking down on the concourse mall of Hive Center and breathing in the cool, oil-scented air.